Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode here at the Damage Report, an episode to end a week, the week that was awful. But we're hoping that today will be cool. You know, we got a secret weapon. Brett Ehrlich, how's it going?
What? What? So if it's a secret, don't tell people about it, John.
Damn, we've spoiled the whole thing. Well, I guess that's all the time we've got. No, thank you for being here. I'm hoping that we'll have a little bit of fun. Unfortunately, I made the rundown, so you know, we'll see what we can do.
So thank you. Unrelated question. When is the hair purple? When is that? I think a lot of people are wondering. There were over 1,000. First of all, when we have both different reasons not to lean our heads forward. Mine is to show just how little hair I have. Yours is how when you wear a headset, it just depresses like a line across the top of your head.
Does that not happen to anyone other than me?
Oh, it happens to me. Anyway. It always happens. Yeah. It's not you.
Okay, so let's get this out of the way.
Yeah.
So Sabrina, who is, let's just keep it real, a Disney villain. So she came up with this idea that if we got 1,000 Twitch subs, I'd dye my hair purple, which was, that's a funny joke. Her hair is purple. What the hell? You've got this ready to go?
What?
Oh God. Anyway, damn you, Jordan. Jordan Yule, whose birthday it is, screwed me over with that shot on the right. Anyway, so it's 1,000 subs though. You're not supposed to be able to get 1,000 subs, certainly not in a day. And we did really fast. So I guess it's gonna happen.
So it's gonna happen. And this is something that I think I did a pretty poor job of hiding from you earlier. Because of those 1,000 subs, we were able to unlock a new emote slot. And that slot has already been filled with, let's see what they call them.
Oh my God.
Turks perp. You. So those of you watching on those either who are watching on Twitch and subscribing, or people watching on other platforms who are Amazon Prime affiliated, can jump over and just there's a video tyt.com/prime. It'll teach you how to link your Amazon Prime for a free sub, and you too can use Turks perp.
Yeah,
for so that purple drink of water, John Iderol.
Saw on the main show when that abomination was rolled out. Great. Wow. Thank you. I never really felt welcome in the chat anyway, but now clearly I'm being driven away. Anyway, so look, I don't know exactly when it's gonna happen. I don't want you to know exactly which day, but it will happen. Now, you need to understand, my hair is not long for this world generally. It's not like the tip of my hair has been here since Carter or anything, but we did it. And I don't want to disrespect either the community or Sabrina, so it will be happening. And so, you will all suffer. Because the thing is, I don't have to see it. You all have to see it. It'll be invisible to me. I'll forget it's even there, but you will have to look at me and it will devastate you minute by minute.
Anyway. You're going to have to set aside the serious stories for a few days.
I know, it's like, oh God, hostilities have resumed. Israel launching raids into Palestine. Like, what? This is what you want. You're gonna ruin.
Just wear, have an earring and eyeliner, because I think that look, or like dark around, like really dark around the eye, because I think you could pull that off. Like that alter ego of like, and I'm sure I'm just basing this on a Fortnite skin, but like John, like punk John, but like straight edge. See. Like I have and advocating taking care of your body.
Shut up. Anyway, I've always wanted a tattoo. Maybe I'll go for that. Anyway, we got news. You want it, presumably. So we're gonna give it to you either way. But it's coming. So if you could hit the like button, share the stream, that would be great. We're gonna take some breaks. We'll read your comments, respond to your super chats, and all that. Thank you to everybody who took part in our tier 3 live members Q&A yesterday. We had the most people we've ever had in one. We had a ton of fun. Talking about a whole bunch of nonsense for like almost an hour. So thank you everybody for being a part of that. There will be another one coming in like 3 weeks or so. But that said, we've got some new. Oh, also, we've got a garbage can, and a garbage can needs garbage. So there's a lot out there, but which? You can help us choose by going to the community tab, youtube.com/thedamagereport, and voting. You might have to scroll down a little bit, but eventually you'll see a poll. The community garbage person of the week. We want to know what it is. We'll be closing out the show with our garbage people. So get it in while you can.
And really and quick, said. Really quick. Thank you, Elise, for the original emotization of John's Jank drawing, and then Yeetwood Mac for the purple remix of the John emote. Your work has not gone unappreciated, so thank you.
Thank you, and thank you.
Probably to everybody, the single biggest artistic endeavor for not only people's enjoyment but activists.
Probably, yeah. Thank you, everybody who gave subs. I know Hottie Meter gave like 200. So thank you. That's a crazy level of support. So thank you to all of you who did, though. It was a huge joint effort. As Sabrina pointed out, can you deny the power of collective action now? Okay. With that, I don't know about the beard, by the way. I don't know. We'll figure it out. It's going to be terrible no matter what.
Should do an anyway, ombre. Where it goes from
a like, bad ombre,
like a nice gradient to from the tip of your chin.
I'm just going to start talking about the pandemic, and you can still be doing that, but we'll see. It's going to be like me with purple hair talking about some war. Anyway, okay, wait, no, we got a video, right? Don't we? Yes, let's jump right into the video.
What do you say to the folks who watch this who say, yeah, but kids are, you know, only slightly affected?
This Delta variant that we're seeing now changes the game from my perspective. The children are more ill, they require higher levels of care, and sadly, I think we're going to be seeing more deaths over the coming weeks.
So look, that is a very small excerpt of a longer report about, I believe it's mostly in Louisiana, younger and younger people getting sicker and sicker from COVID. They profile a 17-year-old who has been in the hospital, and that doctor there is saying they're getting sicker, they're in the hospital, we should expect more deaths coming up soon. And obviously this is not, you know, this is not just a thing of the Delta variant, but it's making it worse. It appears to be penetrating into younger populations. Dr. Rick Barr, chief clinical officer at Arkansas Children's Hospital, said, "We're seeing a real surge with the Delta variant that we did not see previously. This is the worst that we've seen it for kids, absolutely." And he said that parents are shocked because the messaging out there has been that kids don't really get sick with COVID, which, sure, a lot of people believe that because unfortunately, a lot of people have been saying that. And saying it up until recently. And if you watch Fox News, I'm not surprised that that might be what you think. And so yes, you're gonna be shocked if your 17-year-old ends up in the hospital when you've been so misinformed. Brett, what do you think?
I mean, there's a lot to unpack about the recent surge in coronavirus cases. One, it's very frustrating that this surge happened after such a precipitous decline, which I don't know, seemed to coincide with the release of the vaccine. These stats, if you look into this is going to be me encouraging people to look into themselves to the effectiveness of vaccines. And this is not me telling you what to do. This might be science compelling you. The power of psi compels you. If you do get that vaccine, we're seeing things like 99.5 of deaths from COVID are among the unvaccinated. 99.5% of the deaths of COVID lately, since we've had the vaccine, are among the unvaccinated. Those numbers are crazy. Most people who die from this are unvaccinated. And when I say most, I'm not like 75%. 99.5%, according to new data, of people who have died from coronavirus are unvaccinated, which just seems to imply that if you're vaccinated, you know, and maybe it's reinforcing, maybe there's people who get vaccinated who also reduce their chances by following other guidances. But then again, isn't that how you handle literally everything else? Yep. Every other every other dangerous situation, you would evaluate which of these safety precautions you would like to follow or, you know, employ. And for me, it's been basically following the mask guidance and getting vaccinated. And so far it's worked out well. Is it 100%? No, nothing's 100%, but I think it's in people's best interest to actually be honest with themselves about the numbers that they're espousing as like reasons that they're making these choices. Yeah. And the odds of you dying from the vaccine itself, as the numbers I've seen, are wildly low, like 0.00019%.
Yeah.
I just don't understand the people who are telling me that they're smart with these new numbers that they're and the risks that they're warning me against. But they don't have data to back it up.
Yeah, obviously there are people who are absorbing a lot of misinformation And then that's sort of related to, but distinct in some ways from them potentially lying about their actual reasoning. Like you sort of responded to some of what, like it's not 100%. So we hear people say like, well, what's the point? Like, or whatever. But like, nobody actually functions that way in their life. Nobody ever just does things that are 100% and that's it. Like no person who like really thinks that like they have to have a handgun for self-defense believes it's 100%. So then just get rid of it. What's the point? I mean, if it's not gonna protect you from 100% of all robberies, then why would you ever have it? Such a waste of time. I mean, it pulls down one side of your pants. Why would you do it? Because that's not actually how they think. They're saying that about COVID, but it's not actually true. But anyway, I wanted to talk a little bit more about some of the misinformation as well as some of the new messaging coming out of the CDC. And let's start with the stuff about kids. Let's put a button on the kid thing because the misinformation about the kids is current. Dr. Nicole Safier is a Fox News medical contributor. Here is what she had to say last night. But until we have something showing us that COVID-19 can cause severe illness in children, I think the benefit of children wearing masks really does not outweigh the risk of these young children less than 14 wearing masks all day. I think it's important to remove the masks from them. At this point, any adult can get vaccinated and they can still wear high grade medical masks to further their protection if they so choose. So, first of all, not only are there more and more kids in hospitals literally right now that this medical contributor either doesn't know about or doesn't care about, but we've known that they can get sick for a very, very, very long time. And regardless of that, she said it doesn't outweigh the risk of them wearing masks, which would be, I don't know, you don't have to say. You don't have to say, and you shouldn't really, because if you were to say a specific risk, it's gonna look really ridiculous compared to the risk of the kid dying or potentially getting, you know, some teacher sick and them dying. No risk that you're gonna point out is gonna seem rational. So just don't get specific again. That's like the overall thing about them. But anyway, Sophie, that's funny. Yes, and so we're also finding out more about what the CDC is saying about this. They're comparing its ease of spread to the chicken pox, according to an internal document from the CDC. And so I just wanna mash a bunch of stuff together because some of the most core fundamental misinformation, we still haven't gotten past it. So one is that kids can't get sick. I cannot believe that a year and a half into this, we're still saying that, but they are still saying it. Tucker Carlson had a show earlier this week where he said, wait, it turns out that some people are still getting COVID after having the vaccine. Why is this? Nobody knows. That's insanity. That's worse insanity than some cultist trying to summon an elder god from the deepest depths of the ocean. Like everybody knows that you could get sick. However, when you tell people we don't know, it's so shocking. Why is this happening? It leads people to then say, well, I guess I don't need to get vaccinated. And that is obviously not true because as the CDC document is pointing out, your protection is not 100%, but it's still really strong. So let's bring up this chart and you're gonna see an 8-fold reduction in getting COVID, a 25-fold reduction in hospitalization, and a 25-fold reduction in death from COVID, thanks to the vaccine. So no, you are not immune to fire or anything, but you're much less likely to become severely ill. And they point out you should still get a COVID vaccine even if you've already had COVID-19. I'm just throwing that out there to get ahead of what Tucker Carlson is gonna be saying next week. Yes, you can get sick. Yes, you can pass COVID if you have the vaccine. You could even pass COVID to somebody who is also themselves vaccinated. But if that is happening, and it is happening, you're gonna want as many people as possible to be vaccinated because at least then it might not be that bad. So anyway, I know Brett, that's a lot of different things, but I just feel like it's a million little mosquitoes of misinformation that we have to continually like slap at and they just come back anyway.
Right, but there's a million little mosquitoes, but there's one destination for all of them. They all they're saying sciencey stuff. They're saying things that sound like they're, you know, they profess themselves to be reasonable people. But the destination is just to be contrarian, just to feel like they know more than you. And this is what would Tucker say about Tucker is he's an elitist. He thinks he knows better. He thinks he can get away. He thinks he's right because he's asking questions. So is science, is just questions. It's all the questions. And he throws them out there rhetorically, but they all have answers. That's what's so frustrating. What is the VAERS outcome? What's the you know, deaths, as VAERS says, like adverse in, you know, effects of the virus and getting everything like that. Yeah, they're, those answers are out there. And those answers still, even if they say, like, I see people saying, like, oh my God, why are they keep changing the overall effectiveness of this vaccine? It's like, well, you get new numbers, but those numbers are still way higher in terms of protecting you from getting the virus again,
yeah,
or from you know, being diagnosed as a positive case than not getting the vaccine at all. Like, I don't, it's these things where, for me, the destination is survival. For me, the destination is doing the thing that I'm not going to kick myself afterwards because all the signs were there. Like, yeah. I hate that. I hate, that's why I won't go skydiving, because I know if I go skydiving and something happens, I'll be more less upset about dying and more upset about me knowing how dangerous what I did was and ignoring yeah. that. Like, yeah. And so that's why I hear, you know, anywhere between 60 and 80% effective, 80 and 90% effective against transmission of the virus and being counted as a positive case. I do that thing.
Yeah.
The negative effects, people dying, even the wording in this statistics of like something like 0.00019% of people have died after getting the vaccine. That includes anaphylaxis, people who were allergic to it and didn't like, you know, who were just allergic to it and didn't get 100%. Like help in time. And that's such a small number like that it just doesn't bear out that you would resist this vaccine to me. And people who are saying that it bears out that they should resist it, in their opinion, their justification doesn't make any sense.
No, none of it does. Like we're still going through all of this stuff. We have a solution. We could be done with this in like 2 weeks if people would just go to CVS for a few minutes right now. And you know, last year was rough in a lot of different ways. You know, covering the news was a cheese grater to the brain. You know, having to continually reassess humanity and our society. And I honestly think if we had known in the thick of it, or I'll only speak for myself. If I had known in the thick of it that they're not gonna take the vaccine, if we like miracle happens, we get it in a year, I don't know if I would have made it through last year. That would have just been the last straw right there, that we're suffering so much. If only we could get to the vaccine. Oh no, by the way, they're not gonna take it. Nope, that's it, I give up. But anyway, let's talk a little bit more about this. I wanna cover a bit more of the right-wing misinformation and its effect on people when it comes to COVID. So we're not gonna delve super deep into some of these stories because there's too many. But here's a sort of story. It's a new genre that we occasionally cover in the pre-show on TDR. This individual, Daryl Barker, was passionately against the COVID-19 vaccine. He said, I was strongly against getting the vaccine just because we're a strong conservative family. So look, vaccine hesitancy or suspicion or opposition comes in many different forms. I don't know what percentage this sort of one is, but he at least believed that if you are a conservative, you should not get a vaccine. It is a thing that is bundled up with your ideology. Like, we know that it's bundled up with your ideology, but I didn't even suspect that people were consciously making that decision. Like, well, I wanna check the box on being a strong conservative. And you can see he's in the hospital. 10 people in the family got sick. So hopefully have had a chance to learn, but that's what you get after months and months of being lied to. And in some cases, the lies are like incredibly obviously untrue. So this is a story we chose not to do a couple days ago, but you can find out the details on Media Matters. Tucker Carlson downplays spike in coronavirus cases. So here specifically, he's talking about in LA County. So he said LA County is ridiculous because they want people to wear masks again, when if you look at the change in COVID, you can't even tell the difference. That's what he told his audience, many of which don't live in LA, don't know, and aren't gonna search the data. We had over 3,000 cases just in one city yesterday. Like 6 weeks ago, what did we have? 170, maybe 200? It's like 15 times what it was. This week though, he said, you can't even tell the difference. It's indistinguishable. It is just a lie, that's all it is. And I can accept maybe them lying about the blue states, that we don't have COVID. We're pretending we have COVID. That's a weird thing to say, but it's even weirder when a right winger will listen to Tucker one night say that, and then the next day they'll go on and Jesse Waters will tell them, if you look at the map of the United States and they show the hotspots, all of the hotspots are in huge Democrat cities, which isn't true. But if it were true, it would be directly contradicting Tucker's misinformation. But somehow they've created a system where telling right wingers that there's no COVID in blue cities helps out their propaganda, while simultaneously telling them there's lots of COVID in blue cities also helps out their propaganda. So I don't, like, is it the same person seeing all of it? I don't know. I don't know, Brett. Nonsense. It's all nonsense.
I love Ben Mankiewicz, but what I hate about him is when he said that no interest, like every interesting person's a hypocrite. And it's not that these folks are interesting, and he's like, hypocrisy arguments don't mean anything. They make me feel better. And that's really all I can do is when you point out the hypocrisy. You have, like, Abbott is strangely the first person that I actually at least understand as being consistent in this. Abbott is signing orders to ban mandates, okay, on any level within his state. But the more nefarious one is freaking what DeSantis in Florida, who is claiming credit. Oh, we've been so successful in Florida. No, you're not. Because, you know, these numbers are going down. Well, you are hiding how easy it is to get access to your numbers in your state. You're doing weeklies, not dailies, because you know you're buying extra things. But he's like, we've never had a mandate in Florida. DeSantis, there is a website that lists every county in Florida that's had a mandate, and it's every county in Florida. Like, I read them to my wife, who is from Florida, which explains a lot. And she was like, that's all the counties. Like, that's all the counties, because they all want credit for winning. And for them, the winning, that's what faced Trump. It was Trump's demise, is he could BS his way out of all of the different political issues because they're so nebulous. But in this situation with COVID, like, people were alive and now they're dead.
Yeah.
And the virus doesn't care if you like double down on your messaging strategy. Like, it's still a deadly virus. And if your behavior is affected by a desperate messaging strategy, which makes you more vulnerable to the virus, then more people are going to die. And you can't change that.
And we're trying. let's go to one more from this genre. This is on Raw Story if you want the details. Father of five dies after texting fiance, quote, I should have gotten the damn vaccine. And in that particular case, that individual and his wife were not against the vaccine. They weren't like hardcore aggressive anti-vaxxers. They just said they want to wait a year to see about the side effects. And he died. His five kids, the rest of his life ahead of him. Like, this is all we have. That's it. You get this one chance at all of this stuff, all of this possibility, and we protect our lives in a lot of different areas. It seems like it should take a lot of work and be really hard to get people to totally disarm, but it has been successful. It comes in a lot of different forms, but just get the damn vaccine if you can while there's still time. It is spreading, and Delta is gonna give way to Lambda, and God only knows what'll come after that. You've got a chance. You can go to Walgreens like right now in the United States. You can get it today. You can walk in. You don't even need an appointment. You should really do that, because I know what's not gonna, so I don't want this to happen to you, what we just saw. But I know it's not gonna happen. You're not gonna look back and say, man, I wish 6 months ago I hadn't gotten the vaccine. That's not a thing. Literally nobody is ever gonna experience that. You might even forget that you got it. You might be lucky enough to be able to forget about this whole thing. I got it months ago. Brett, you're vaccinated. We're all vaccinated. It's not bad.
Listen, I don't want to answer the question as to whether I'm vaccinated, John. How dare
Sorry, that's
you?
Your HIPAA rights. But
my HIPAA. Anyway. Also, there's all kinds of, like, Walgreens. Don't just go to Walgreens because you can get the vaccine. Not only do you get the vaccine, but it's summer. So that, like, thematic seasonal aisle has like a bunch of squirt guns. Like,
you can get one of those too.
Full noodles. And like weird sprinklers that look like bees. You put your hose on and you run through slips and slides.
Both?
All day. Yeah, all day.
That's a great deal. Anyway, we are going to take our first break. When we come back, some right wingers are actually mad about the aftermath of January 6th, just about all the wrong things. We'll be breaking that down after this. So welcome back to the first annual Jordan Yule Memorial Damage Report show with me and Brett Ehrlich. We're remembering
Memorial
year,
damn.
Jordan, not looking back. It's like a memorial for the year. He's accomplished a lot. Anyway, okay, so with that, well, why don't we talk? No more singing. Let's talk about the news. Let's launch
Move on, John.
Trespassing by attempting to come into this correctional facility.
People that vote on whether or not to fund you at what level, and we're trespassing.
I understand that.
My gosh, the government is upside down.
Can you please go ask your supervisor?
You right now are obstructing entrance into this facility. This is the way people enter. You're obstructing
entrance. We won't obstruct the entrance.
Nope, we'll help anybody.
No, that's what we're doing. Okay, we'll clear the entrance. We'll clear the path.
Okay, so there you saw Representative Marjorie Greene and Louie Gohmert trying to get into a prison. A spokesperson from Marjorie Greene's office told The Hill they were given no explanation as to why they were turned away, which is directly contradicted by the video that we just watched. She was told directly why they were being turned away. I guess it didn't stick. In one ear, bounced around slightly, came out the other, I suppose. But anyway, a spokesperson for the DC Department of Corrections says that the trio showed up unannounced with an unauthorized camera crew requesting a facility tour. All visitors, which includes family members of residents, attorneys, and public officials, must adhere to the rules and procedures of the Department of Corrections. But that did not stop them from freaking out as a result of that. It has apparently confirmed to them everything that they believe, or at least say, is true about these political prisoners, and we'll get to more of that. But Brett, they want to be a part of this process, and Matt Gaetz is usually with them. They've chosen their battle in this area.
Their behavior is the reason they're not involved in so much. And I'm not even talking about like the generic process. I'm talking about the Republicans themselves have started to distance themselves from the horror show. They already lost one of the G's and the four G's. Gosar's gone. Gone is Gosar. The G's are. I want them to have a fifth G so they can be five G's, so I could do this whole conspiracy thing that I've got that actually blames them as the deep state. But my favorite part about the G squad is freaking Louie Gohmert, because you know, I think you played the video where Lauren Windsor kind of followed him saying like, are you a pedophile? Are you a pedophile? That press conference that got shut down was the B squad press conference. There was a real press conference with Jim Jordan and Elise Stefanik that those guys couldn't go to. And Louie Gohmert was the last one. But oh, so for all, are we leaving? Are we going? You guys move. All right. Thank you for coming. As everyone's getting pushed off. And here he is trying to just get screen time again. And I say, if they want to go to prison, let them in prison.
Yeah, they do seem
these guys
really
are going to walk themselves in. Just it's fine. Let them in. Lock the door once they're inside, not before they can make entry.
Yeah.
There's a lot of other things. Like there's a lot of people in that prison, I'm sure, that shouldn't be there. The January 6th rioters do not fall into that category.
Yeah, well, no, that's definitely an area that we're gonna get into because I think you're making a good point there. But yeah, there was a video of like Matt Gaetz like trying to pull on the doors and he couldn't get in. I was like, dude, like pump the brakes, you're gonna get there. I think he's the only one of that group, Will, unfortunately. But anyway, yeah, I don't know how Gohmert has become a part of this. I didn't know that he was one of those. I like to imagine that, you know, Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Greene, who are a really weird duo, we're probably like doing a press conference and they just like glance over. They're like, yeah, Louie Gohmert. Like, I think he just appeared. I don't think they were like, we need a third. Who can we get? Let's go for the Gohmert. I don't think that's what they were doing, but who knows? There's not a lot that would probably be comfortable in a room with them.
He's but not anyway. Invited and it's not coordinated. He is invited. He has hired a private investigator. Gohmert is actually the Latin root of the fish, the sucker fish on the bottom of the whale. Like that's what a Gohmert is.
Yeah.
He's disgusting. Well, look,
that is true. And he had to say after that incident you just saw, we're in a totalitarian Marxist territory here. This is the way third world people get treated. I hope there he's talking about the political prisoners, which we're gonna get to. Because if he's talking about what they just experienced, that is not the worst stuff that is happening in any part of the world, let alone the third world. But also, what's Marxist about it? They didn't let you into a private facility. Okay, that might be inconvenient. But there's nothing like specifically about questioning the distribution of capital in that. Like, you can't just use that word for everything. Like, if they don't give you, like, the bar is so low. The bar is
it's
so
also
low.
Like, all the interventionist imperialist Republicans are imprisoning tons of people without cause or reason. Like,
caring about that would be great. Yeah. Actually, caring about that. Let's turn to that. Let's turn to the actual condition with prisoners. So, Marjorie Greene wants us to focus not on like the cops that are testifying. Ignore that. But there are people being held before sentencing for January 6th. She wants us to focus more on them. Here she is speaking out for them.
We went to this prison today as members of Congress and to give oversight on a federal prison because we suspect there is a two-tier justice system in the United States for Trump supporters that are charged for January 6th and letting catch and release. It's basically catch and release for Antifa and BLM rioters that have rioted and destroyed cities and hurt businesses and looted and hurt police officers and federal monuments and federal buildings and police precincts. You know, we suspected that, but it was confirmed today, and it's an outrage.
That whole video, if you watch it again, Matt Gaetz just looks like a really uncomfortable, like little boy who's being forced to stand somewhere and doesn't want to be. But anyway, they're political prisoners. There's a two-tiered justice system, which is like definitely true, but not at all what she's talking about. And it's that they're too hard on Trump supporters. So Brett, couple points from that. One, she's admitting that they're Trump supporters, so that's cool. Finally, like 6 months later, she admits that they're not Antifa, because previously she'd said they were Antifa. But no way, Antifa is just getting caught and released. That never made sense. So, but wait, but which is it? Because you seem to not like that Antifa's been caught and released, but you don't want those people to be held. But you're whatabouting them. So which standard would you like to see universally applied? I'm guessing
she likes the two-tier justice system. She just wants it how it normally is. Mm-hmm. In this situation, like she's saying. But to take Candace Owens' logic, when she says you catch and release Antifa people, basically you catch and release people on the left, she's dehumanizing them and turning them into fish. And that's the first step. So Candace Owens should really come out against Marjorie Taylor Greene at this point by pescatizing and patronizing the left before the overall extermination of us. It's all that. It won't stop being that, like the two-tier justice system. Guys, they broke into the Capitol building. And also, like, which is it? Are they good guys? Are they political prisoners because they were protesting? Or if Nancy Pelosi needed heightened security measures against these people, and it's her fault for not having them. If that's the case, like, well, then they should be in prison because they were a security threat.
Now give us. Like it used to be, there's a face on Mars. Okay, so let's grapple with this one conspiracy theory. There's a face on Mars. Now it's like every single conspiracy theory has its dark mirror, and you have to fight both because they believe both. You're 100% right. She wants Nancy Pelosi locked up for leaving the Capitol open to attack by the people that she doesn't think did anything wrong and should be released. It doesn't make any sense. But there's one last little bit of fun if you find the fact that we have a representative who is hardcore racist fun. So she says, joining my colleagues Gohmert, Gosar, and Gaetz seeking answers and asking questions at the deplorable jail in DC. What the deplorable jail? You're coming up with that, but you are insulting them by saying it. Anyway, she wants more visitation hours, access to religious texts. She also throws in access to exercise, which I think is just trying to. She's worried she's gonna end up there, and she wants to make sure there's CrossFit equipment. I think that's all that is. And by the way, if she or Gohmert or Gaetz were actually interested in the condition of American prisons, the fact that people are held for so long without bail before totally non-violent charges, all of that would be a great way for her to advance this political agenda of hers while also potentially doing some good. But she's not interested in that. These are literally the only prisoners that she actually cares about. And she throws in at the end, illegal aliens are treated better in detention facilities than the J6 accused. It's outrageous. But wait, they're being held for attacking a building, beating cops, nearly killing people. The illegal aliens are, they're just being held. Like, you get that they're not in there for murder generally. They crossed the border. That's not the same as killing a person. This is all that is a racial thing. They would dare treat these illegal aliens better than good white conservatives, despite the fact that the white conservatives were violent and the illegal aliens weren't.
Dude, there's a, I forget who it is. I think it might be Abbott, who is signing orders to basically quarantine any people from out of the country who are coming to this country who might pose a threat. So he's putting essentially like more than a mask mandate. And when I say pose a threat of COVID, he's doing more than a mask mandate for people in Texas who might be passing COVID around, but he refuses to do anything on a state level for non-brown people in Texas who might be spreading COVID around. It's just not consistent. And that's what she wants. She wants the two-tier justice system. She wants her political prisoners, who are also folks who are dangerous threats that Nancy Pelosi is responsible for not addressing. But she wants those folks to have access to the, you know, Danish style prison complex that she would hate if you explained to her what a Danish style prison complex does and means. She just wants it for her people. That is the two-tier justice system that she advocates for. It's frustrating. 100%.
You're right. Okay, we're blowing through this hour. Okay, so we're gonna take another break. We come back a little bit more on January 6th. Trump apparently had some thoughts about the cops whose testimony we showed you earlier. And then we've got a video of police brutality that I'm gonna give you a warning right before we play it, but an early heads up, it's really rough. And so we'll be getting to all of that after this break. Let's move on to a little bit of news because we still got a lot to get to with what remains of the show. Throughout this week, we've been seeing video of the Capitol Police testifying about the attacks and racial slurs that they faced on the 6th when Trump supporters stormed the Capitol. And apparently in the wake of that, Trump has had some thoughts, a few of which we can actually say, some we can't on TV. But in private discussions this summer, Donald Trump has told some people close to him that several of these officers strike him as weak and as pansies, but he didn't say pansies. We can't actually say what he said, but that's what he said about cops who he only knew about because of the horrific violence that they faced at the hands of his supporters. He also maintained that these men seem broken by the events of January 6th and that they do not have the supposed toughness or character of the law enforcement officers who, on the whole nationally, still widely support Trump and his policies. Well, that is one potential difference between those cops and the others. Another might be that those cops haven't yet been beaten by a Trump supporting mob. If they ever oppose him in any way, it is entirely possible that the MAGA heads will want their blood too, and maybe then they will turn on Trump. But for now, they haven't been beaten with Trump flags. So yes, an important difference. But Brett, Trump doesn't think they're tough enough. Obviously, he's basically Donkey Kong in his alphaness. So I guess it is up to him to determine who's tough.
This guy was near an eagle that flapped its wings too fast. And he flinched. This is a guy who said, let's go down to the Capitol building and will be very nice, but attack them essentially. And then didn't even go with them.
Didn't go.
This is Bone Spurs McGinty.
Yep.
This is a guy whose biggest adversity is like Scottish rough at his resort in Scotland, Turnberry. Mm-hmm. Like this guy. There's one photo of him, like the biggest physical feat of his career is climbing out of a sand trap. That's him.
Hey, that's not fair. He's faced adversity. I heard that sometimes the button that gets him a Diet Coke sticks. You gotta hit it. You got it. 1, 2, 3. You gotta hit it a few times before you get your Diet Coke.
The most challenging thing in his life is getting his wife to hold his hand.
That's basically thumb wrestling, buddy.
Rivaled only by toilet paper stuck to his foot. And he couldn't even overcome the obstacle of an open umbrella preventing him from getting into his own plane. Adversity. P words.
So he took two hands to drink. Like, and that's fine. That's fine. If you struggle in all the ways that he clearly struggles, there's nothing wrong with that. That's almost an inevitability. It's gonna hit me earlier than it hit Trump. But then you need to not cast stones, as they say, about cops not being tough enough. And it's perfect. Like, the whole idea of being an alpha is such a short, he is the Wizard of Oz of alphas, and most Republicans are, that what those cops are known for is persevering through incredible violence that could have taken their lives and still trying to do their jobs. And when we say that, it is not saying that everything cops do is awesome, everything that the cops at the Capitol did is awesome, or anything like that. But we can see the video of them, and it is clearly very difficult. But they were still doing it despite being attacked by dozens and dozens and dozens of people. So that's not acceptable to the right. You have to attack them on their strength, which is the fact that they persevered, by implying that they're the ones who are pansies or whatever. Whereas Donald Trump, a guy who for the past 50 years has hidden from exercise with his philosophy that the body is a battery that gets drained, he gets to be the tough one or whatever. It is just like, of all of the scams, of all of the cons, maybe the financial ones hurt more on the right, but the most impressive has been the idea that any of these guys are tough in literally any way. That Trump or Shapiro or Kirk or Tucker or any of these guys are tough in any of the BS toxic ways they imply that men should be.
I can't. I hate it all. I hate it all. Trump is afraid of paying his bills. He's afraid of actual human beings. He can't bring himself to surround him with anyone that is not someone like a rich like person like him. They don't even like him. It's so sad. It's so sad. And it's so transparent too. And that's it. People don't, and that's what you were identifying earlier. It's folks have this feeling that they're on the same side. And that feeling is what binds them. And that vitriol toward the other is what binds them. And someone has convinced them that this is the circle around their ideals. But those ideals wildly conflict. But that the winning the argument is not the destination. Living the life they want with the mindset that they want. The opiate of the masses is religion, typically, but it also is just any theology or ethos that makes you feel high off it. And this is really working for them. And it ties into this last point I'll make, which is, you know, there is a development of what is successful in politics, and it's tied toward mastery of the prevalent medium. And the first thing that you're taught about this is there was the first real televised debates between Kennedy and Nixon, and Nixon had 5 o'clock shadow, and he wasn't as pretty, and he was sweating. And people were like, I like Kennedy because he does well on TV. And now the dominant medium is what's left of TV in politics anyway, Fox, which is being an a-hole loudly and aggressively. And then on the other hand, it's the internet. So Trump is a mix of what does well on Fox and what does well on the internet, which is unhinged, polemic vitriol. And that's what we have to live with and come up with a better strategy then.
Yeah, I agree. He's not the only one doing it, but yeah. Okay, yes, we're gonna do the, we're gonna move on to that in just, really fast. When Fauci got to throw a ball at a baseball game, he lied that he'd been invited to do it. When Greta Thunberg got the cover of Time, He viciously attacked her because he was so jealous of this 16-year-old girl. Alpha.
Alpha was in a basement.
That's what alphas are. Yeah, he was in a basement. And then he got really mad when they pointed out. It would be embarrassed. We are going to be jumping right into a video, but you should know that it is incredibly graphic in nature, so consider yourself warned.
I can't breathe, dude.
Hands all the way out in front of you.
Okay.
Straight out in front of you.
Okay.
Dude, you have a gun pointed straight at your head.
I don't have a gun. Why am I going in cuffs?
Stop.
Why am I going in cuffs?
You have a warrant. Stop.
No, I don't. I don't have a gun.
Stop fighting.
Bro, I don't have no warrant. You guys are the wrong guy. I don't have a warrant, bro.
Stop fighting.
I don't have a warrant.
Stop fighting.
Help. 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 I don't have a warrant, bro. Bro, I don't have no warrant, bro.
Get on your face.
Bro, I don't have a
warrant. Get on your face.
I don't have a warrant, dude.
Get on your face.
Okay, okay. Okay.
Get on your face now.
Okay. Oh,
get on your face.
Okay, bro. Okay.
Get on your face.
You're killing me.
So what you saw in that video was two police officers from the Aurora Police Department in Colorado. They have since been arrested after this video has come out showing one police officer beating someone who is restrained brutally about his head and face as he pleads for his life. The other cop, of course, was doing nothing to stop it. The one doing the attacking that you don't see in the video is you can see him in this picture here. This is Aurora Police Officer John Haubert. Arrested on charges of attempted first degree assault, second degree assault, felony menacing, official oppression, and first degree official misconduct. It's a 3-year veteran of the Aurora Police Department that's been put on administrative leave without pay pending an expected internal affairs investigation. The other officer, Francine Martinez, is a 6-year veteran arrested on misdemeanor charges of failing to intervene and report use of force by a police officer. She's on administrative leave with pay. Both officers have bonded out of jail. And there's gonna be an investigation and blah, blah, blah. The cops are so surprised by what they're seeing there. That is, look, we've seen a billion videos like this, Brett, obviously that was incredibly difficult to watch. You can see more of it. It's worse, like after this, it's still really bad. The process of them getting him onto his back, they came, like that guy did not just snap in the video you saw. He came in ready for violence. Like, anyway, what are your thoughts?
Before that, I would say is just as bad. It's three guys in a parking lot having a day, a nice day. The police approach them. The two other guys ran. This is the guy who stayed like this. He had his hands up. And the reason he stayed is he's like, I don't have a warrant. I don't know what you're talking about. And immediately there's a gun in his face. So he's trying not to move. There's one point where he just instinctively puts his hand up because he thinks he's going to get shot in the face. And I thought that's when he was going to get shot in the face. He's on his stomach and the police says, you have a gun. And he continues to say, you have a gun at the back, pointed at your head. And the guy just hears, you have a gun. And he's like, I don't have a gun. I don't know what to do.
He didn't understand anything that was happening.
Right, because it happened, escalated so quickly. And this guy was arrested before for aggravated crime very similar to this in nature. And while it wasn't prosecuted, he didn't go to jail for it. He ended up like getting this job as a police officer, despite something that should probably have been flagged if there were any standards at all. But this is Aurora, Colorado, home of Elijah McClain and a bunch of other places.
God only knows in the end what's going to end up happening with this cop. Like a rational person watches that video and thinks this guy can never hold a gun in his life. He can never be in a position where he has power for life and death. I don't need to see more. You don't get to make a mistake this bad. It's just so common. We see it all the time. I watch something like that. And I just hate this whole thing. Anyway, we got more coming up. We're gonna take a short break, but there's more news after this.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.